Dr. Balagay here. This podcast is one in a series of 10 podcasts on the topic of falls in older adults. It's from an outstanding chapter in Balagay's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. After completing this series of 10 podcasts, the listener should have a solid foundation in managing falls in older adults. This podcast is derived from an outstanding chapter authored by Dr. Sarah M. Bradley, who is an associate professor of medicine and geriatrics at the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University, Chicago, Illinois. Prior to this, she was an assistant professor of medicine and geriatrics and palliative medicine and the co-director of the Integrated Internal Medicine Geriatrics Clerkship for third-year students at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. The senior author is Dr. Reena Karani, MD, MHPE, who is the Senior Associate Dean for Undergraduate Medical Education and Curricular Affairs and Professor of Medical Education, Medicine and Geriatrics and Palliative Medicine at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, New York. Her clinical interests include care of hospitalized older adult, perioperative management, and consultative models of care. Multiple choice question. A cognitively intact 78-year-old man with gait instability is admitted to the hospital with chest pain. He has a history of increased cholesterol, diabetes, and coronary artery disease. Which of the following has been shown to reduce the rate of falls in acute care settings as a part of a multifactorial intervention? A. Placing a bed alarm on the patient's bed. B. Offering falls education to the patient. C. Placing a fall alarm bracelet in the patient. And D. Putting the patient in a room with special carpeting. And the answer is B, that is offering education on falls to the patient. The literature on fall prevention in acute care settings has shown that many commonly used measures are not effective in reducing the risk of falls. The only intervention that has been shown to decrease the rate of falls in cognitively intact hospitalized patients is patient education with follow-up by trained physical therapists. Fall prevention in acute, subacute, and long-term care. Multifactorial interventions for fall prevention have also been shown to be effective in acute care and subacute rehabilitation settings, decreasing the rate of falls by 31% and the risk of falling by 27%. Multimedia patient education with follow-up by trained physical therapists can decrease rates of falls in cognitively intact patients by 57% in these settings as well. In the subacute setting where patients are admitted for a longer period of time, supervised exercise can decrease risk of falling by up to 66%. Commonly used measures such as fall bracelets, bed alarms, and special carpeted flooring have not been shown to prevent falls in acute care. In long-term care facilities, multifactorial interventions decrease the rate of falls by 40% and the risk of falling by 15%, but only when provided by an interprofessional team. With the exception of vitamin D supplementation, which can decrease fall rates by 28%. Exercise and other interventions have not been shown to be useful in this setting. Although they do not prevent falls, hip protectors are various forms of padding, usually worn as underwear-like garments that are designed to absorb the impact of fall and prevent fractures. Hip protectors are most effective in reducing the incidence of fracture in frail, institutionalized patients who are at a very high risk of falling. In other settings, the acceptance and adherence by patients is low. In a nutshell, interventions for acute and subacute care include multifactorial interventions, multimedia patient education for cognitively intact patients, and supervised exercise. For long-term care, the approaches include multifactorial interventions provided by an interprofessional team, vitamin D supplementation, and hip protectors. Risk factors for fall prevention include polypharmacy, that's more than four medications, poor balance or gait instability, postural hypotension, vision impairment, and environmental hazards. Multifactorial interventions for all these factors can reduce the incidence of falls. Since multiple risk factors contribute to a patient falling, interventions to prevent falls ideally need to target more than one risk factor. Multifactorial and multi-component interventions are two types of fall prevention interventions that target several risk factors. In multifactorial intervention, an individualized fall risk assessment determines which combination of interventions a patient receives. In multi-component interventions, all patients receive a fixed set of fall prevention interventions targeting multiple areas. Either approach is most effective when involving direct implementation of interventions and not just recommendations or referrals. The domains targeted by multifactorial and multi-component interventions that have most impact are medication review and reduction, balance, strength and gait training, management of orthostasis, correction of vision impairment, and environmental adaptation. Guidelines recommend that all such interventions include exercise such as Tai Chi or physical therapy. While the USPS task force does not advocate this approach, they do recommend exercise or physical therapy and vitamin D supplementation to prevent falls in community dwelling adults aged 65 years or older. Hot off the press is a New England Journal of Medicine article published on July 9, 2020 by the STRIDE trial investigators. This is a pragmatic trial where the acronym stands for Strategies to Reduce Injuries and Develop Confidence in Elders, the STRIDE trial. Its goal was to determine the clinical effectiveness of a patient-centered intervention that combined elements of practice design, that is reconfiguration of workflow to improve quality of care, and an evidence-based, multifactorial, individually tailored intervention implemented by specially trained nurses in primary care settings. This was a randomized, cluster randomized trial, which was conducted at 86 primary care practices across 10 healthcare systems in the US. The main findings in the trial: a multifactorial intervention administered by nurses did not result in a significantly lower rate of first adjudicated serious fall injury than enhanced usual care. The investigators were surprised by these unexpected results, and their trial had several strengths because it integrated practice redesign, co-management of care by a specially trained nurse, motivational interviewing, and individualized risk factor guided multifactorial intervention into primary care practices. There were limitations. Participants were more educated than the general population, and that the trial had modest representation of races and ethnic groups other than whites and of persons with substantial cognitive impairment. small independent group practices were not included. Because monthly ascertainment of falls was not feasible, they combined interviews that took place 3 times per year with verification of participant reported serious fall injuries using encounter data, claims data, or medical records. Interpretation of the findings of this trial was also limited by the lack of process measures, example, adherence to behavioral interventions. Finally, the effects of intervention or healthcare resource utilization had not been determined. However, this hot-off-the-press trial suggested that the nurse administered multifactorial intervention in a primary care setting did not result in a significantly lower rate of a first adjudicated serious fall injury than enhanced usual care among older adults at increased risk for fall injuries. This podcast on falls in older adults was from an outstanding chapter in Baliga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It's from an outstanding chapter authored by Dr. Sarah M. Bradley, MD, who is a faculty physician at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine, and Dr. Reena Karani, MD, Senior Associate Dean and Professor of Medicine and Faculty Physician at the Icahn School of Medicine, Mount Sinai, New York.